You're listening to BrandonTopTier.com podcast, and we're going to be talking about wrestling on July the 25th. I'm Brandon.
Brandon, it's the 15th of July.
It's July 15th, and I'm Brandon, and this is...
Charles.
And so, what we're going to kick it off with is Monday Night Raw. Charles, what did you think about Raw this week?
Well... Funny you should ask that. It's Wednesday, and I just finished watching Raw about 45 minutes ago. I can remember the old days when... Well, first of all, I couldn't wait after a WWE pay-per-view for the next WWE pay-per-view that was coming. Like, those shows were so good, I just wanted to see the next one right then. And something that helped with that... was Raw, because Raw afterwards would build it up throughout the next month, especially the Raw right before the pay-per-view. That would have me so stoked to watch that show coming up that Sunday that I was practically crawling out of my skin just to see it by Saturday. This Monday Night Raw, well, let's just say for me, overall, it didn't hit the mark. Battleground is this Sunday, and outside of two matches, I couldn't care less. I want to see the championship match between Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar. I want to see John Cena defend the U.S. title against Kevin Owens. Other than that, they could take this entire show as The Rock used to say, shine it up real nice and stick it straight up someplace that we're not going to mention here on this podcast. But I'm sure all of you listening to this will probably know what I mean. The build-up for those two matches on this on this coming pay-per-view was good Monday night. The introduction of the NXT Divas, which joined... Were we officially told they joined the roster, the main roster? No, we were not. And I happen to think there's still some work for those three young ladies to do down in NXT, especially Sasha Banks, who's still the NXT Women's Champion. But that was a good segment. And I'll talk more about that in a minute. Outside of that segment and... building up the U.S. title match, which was great, again, every time Kevin Owens is on TV, it's outstanding. Even the build-up for the world title match, which I still want to see because Rollins and Lesnar are terrific, but a contract signing. Don't we... see like three or four of these a year, and they always end the same way. Somebody's getting beat up. This time it was Kane, which, no big loss.
Well, you want me to explain it?
Go ahead.
You didn't see it?
Go ahead, yeah.
Okay, well, you know, Seth Rollins was talking to Kane. He told Kane, he said, you better not mess this one up. He's telling Kane, which is the director of operations for the authority. Seth Rollins comes out. You know, Brock Lesnar's out there. What Kane has decided to do to get the upper hand on Brock Lesnar was take a wooden plank and put it underneath the table. So, as Brock Lesnar was going to sign the contract, Seth Rollins was trying to reach into the table. Paul Heyman saw him and said, whoa, what are you doing? What are you doing? Something like that, you know, how Paul Heyman does. And Brock Lesnar basically takes the table and shoves it into Seth Rollins' face and knocks him out of the ring, and then picks up the wooden plank and then throws it down on the ground, from what I remember. And basically, Seth Rollins is chased, and Seth Rollins jumps over the guardrail, runs into the crowd. Brock Lesnar sees Kane, and basically, I skipped through a little bit. Actually, I believe there was a Kane alteration and a Seth Rollins alteration there. Mm-hmm. It kind of left Kane on the ground. They kind of, at first, had a little bit of an upper hand on Brock Lesnar. I kind of skipped through a little bit of that. But anyway, that's not really important. Anyway, Kane's on the ground. Brock Lesnar grabs a steel step, smashes Kane's ankle in, which looked totally fake because they even showed a really slow replay where Kane... with Brock Lesnar takes like an angle of the stairs and hits the bottom stairs, and it kind of shows where, you know, for sure you know that it did not hit his ankle.
So they've taught Brock Lesnar how to be a good face, which means don't work stiff.
So Kane, you know, screams and he can't walk. And what got Kane down was an F5 on the floor.
Mm.
So anyways, so Brock Lesnar leaves. I think the show's going off, but Seth Rollins jumps back over the guardrail, you know, gets back in the ring, grabs his title, looks like he's about to leave, and then he comes over there to Kane and tells him that he's stupid, that he messed everything up, and just, you know, sending derogatory terms towards Kane. And basically that makes you think, well, now Kane and Seth Rollins are back at it again. So now Kane is not going to... Presumably, Kane is not going to be helping Seth Rollins at Battleground. J&J's out. You know, I don't know what they're doing. I believe they're out of commission right now. So, who is Seth Rollins going to have Brock to help him against Brock Lesnar at Battleground? That's kind of what they set you up with at the end of Raw. So, there's a little bit of the background of the ending. Contract signing. They never end good. They're always going to be fighting. No one ever signs a contract and then Raw ends. No. Happy day, you know. Nothing like that. So.
I mean, as contract signings go, it sounds like that one was pretty standard fare. The fact that Rollins berated Kane is interesting. It's interesting in the sense that I think Rollins will keep the title Sunday. The question is now, how do you get him to that point? Because you know he's not going to beat Brock Lesnar on his own. I'm going to offer up a theory here that I have not heard any place else. But in the several, I'm going to say, gosh, just the 25 years now that I've been watching Paul Heyman, Paul E. Dangerously before that, as a part of various wrestling promotions, all the way back to when he managed Mean Mark Callis, yes, The Undertaker in WCW. I have never seen Paul Heyman as a face until now. And if there is one thing that is terrific, everything Paul Heyman does with a microphone in his hand is terrific, don't get me wrong. But if there's one thing that stands out more than anything else is, boy, can Paul Heyman make you hate somebody and make you hate him. He can get a heel over. So, Brock Lesnar's the face in this match. You've established that. Seth Rollins, after being at a high point at WrestleMania, being very over as a heel, and still working, doing a good job in that role, has cooled off a little bit with crowds. What if you had Paul Heyman turn on Brock Lesnar this Sunday and help Seth Rollins keep his title?
It's still a question of how. Because even if you take Paul Heyman hits Brock Lesnar over the head with a steel chair, Brock Lesnar doesn't go down like regular wrestlers do.
Yes, but that's enough of a distraction.
But if he hits the pedigree, he's just going to kick out of that too. He's the Ultimate Warrior from WrestleMania. So really, I mean, if you look at the classic thing where whoever gets over at the end of Raw before the pay-per-view is usually who's going to lose.
Yeah.
If you look at it that way, then it looks as if Rollins is going to go hard. Because Lesnar got the upper hand leaving.
I didn't even think about that. I just think that this match is basically like an appetizer for SummerSlam.
It is.
These two are going to face each other again at SummerSlam. And to me, it makes more sense to have Seth Rollins keep his title in some nefarious way to build up that match at SummerSlam. Because to just say, well, I lost the title, I deserve a rematch, we've done this. But you've never seen anybody screw Brock Lesnar over before as the challenger for the world championship. That's new. What's Brock Lesnar likely to do in that scenario? We're likely to see the night after WrestleMania all over again next Monday. But the point is, then you have that starting point to build the rematch at SummerSlam. You have somewhere to go. Well, that's why I think Seth Rollins wins Sunday. Again, it's just how.
Who else could you have besides Paul Heyman? There's somebody we're not thinking of.
No, I thought of him. You're thinking of Roman Reigns.
Well, you know, he's in a program with Bray Wyatt, so I don't think they'd bring him out there yet.
They could still bring him out later.
Big Show's a tweener in the Authority. But he's with a Ryback and the Miz. Triple threat.
About that. He's not in a triple threat with the Ryback and the Miz.
What is it now?
Ryback's hurt. It's the Miz against Big Show Sunday.
So that's the go to the concession stand match.
Yeah. And this show has a couple of those, but.
Well, one of the big things that came out of Raw was the appearance of Charlotte, Sasha Banks, and Becky Lynch.
Yes.
Coming out. See, the Bella Twins, which was Brie and Nikki, and Alicia Fox were out there, and Stephanie McMahon's music hit. What did you think when Stephanie McMahon's music hit? What did you think the announcement could be from her before you knew it was the quote-unquote Four Horsewomen that they're calling them now, or part of the Four Horsewomen?
Well, first of all, when Stephanie McMahon's music hit, my first thought was, she's going to come out and talk for 10 minutes. And actually, it wasn't that bad. And this was a really cool segment. One thing that kind of puzzled me, we didn't get anything going on with the Divas for Battleground. I thought bringing Becky Lynch, Charlotte, and Sasha Banks up, that, you know, you'd have some type of an announcement for Battleground.
SmackDown.
That didn't happen. Yeah, it could happen on SmackDown. This was probably my favorite Stephanie McMahon segment so far this year, because it featured about 3 minutes of Stephanie McMahon talking, which is all we need. You don't need her running her mouth any more than that. I mean, Steph does a good job in this character. I mean, if you remember back, I think it was 1999, 2000, when they started the McMahon-Helmsley era.
Right.
And that's when Stephanie turned on Vince.
If I remember correctly,
I did too.
I was a Stephanie McMahon fan.
Yeah. Stephanie turned on Vince, I think it was at Armageddon. When he faced, it was the first Armageddon, and he was facing Triple H in the street fight. She turned on Vince. She didn't actually do anything to Vince herself, but when Vince was out, she joined Triple H, and they started the McMahon-Helmsley era. And if you remember Steph back then, Steph was lost on the mic. It was not good. She would admit this herself now, I believe. And if you compare her then to what she is now, she's become a pretty good character on the mic. The trouble is, everybody knows that your family owns WWE, Stephanie, and we're tired of you having it to shove it in our faces. People, you're not drawing heat anymore, Steph. People are legit sick of hearing you tell them about that over and over again. So, when Steph comes into the ring and she only speaks for 3 minutes, this is a good thing, as opposed to some of the 15, 20-minute segments that her and her husband have to open the show lots of times. So, I was pleased by that. And of course, you know, bringing up the three girls from NXT, outstanding.
Problem with that is if they're going to take these three girls and put them on roster, which, of course, you can't really do that with Sasha yet, mm-hmm. but the other two you could, technically, but don't you need to leave some people down there for NXT to continue?
Exactly,
I mean, you don't yet have enough established characters to take their place yet. I mean, you have a few down there, but
you have Bailey,
and you have Emma, which is back, and you also have Blue Pants.
And Dana Brooke's going to be a star. Yeah. Dana Brooke's going to be a star. I will say that.
Now, Raw does need these divas, though, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
They do need it.
I see exactly what you're saying. They've gotten to the point where they need more women in developmental. They need more women in developmental so they can move the girls up that deserve to be moved up to the main roster.
Tough Enough is going to give you one woman.
Yeah.
Whoever that's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't followed Tough Enough, so sorry, I can't really talk to you that a bunch. But anyway, so you thought that was a pretty good segment?
Oh, that was a great segment.
Did you? I never noticed this now. You know, Charlotte does the figure four, but she calls it the figure eight.
Mm-hmm.
And she does that, branches. She bridges it up.
She bridges up on it, yeah.
It's pretty cool.
That is a cool move.
I liked how they all three of them,
they
had
their
them in
submissions
a finishing
on.
Move. Yeah.
Their submissions, yes. That was a very cool way to end the segment. Well, end that part of the segment. I want to offer a personal apology to right now.
Okay.
Our last podcast, I made a comment referring to Nikki Bella's title reign.
Mm-hmm.
It's my personal nickname for that reign.
I allowed that to air, too.
I know you did allow that to air. And thinking back on it, I wish I hadn't said that. Because it's kind of crude. I shouldn't refer to it in that way as much as I really think that Nikki Bella is being pushed less because of her amazing talent as a sports entertainer and more because of, well, her good looks, which basically about covers her amazing talent as a sports entertainer. They're not pushing Nikki because she's a great women's wrestler.
Although she has got better.
She has gotten better.
But I don't think.
But they're pushing Nikki because of her looks. And that was the reason for my comment. That's what I meant by it. It wasn't meant to be crude, but listening back to the show, it kind of sounded crude. And I regret that, and I won't be using that terminology anymore. to refer to Nikki Bella's title reign, which I can only hope will be over soon.
Well, as I alluded to last podcast, they're waiting until she beats AJ Lee's title reign.
How much longer do we have to go?
I don't know, honestly. I do not know. Although AJ Lee, Twitter account, yes. WWE AJ, WWE AJ Lee, was with Paige recently.
Oh!
The Freaks and Geeks, you know how they used to call each other that. So, but you know, obviously, you know, AJ Lee's retired, so she's not coming back. But,
nobody's ever retired in professional wrestling.
Well, I mean, she's not coming back yet.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be a while.
She'll come back when Phil does.
Yeah.
Sorry, CM Punk. I don't mean to break kayfabe there.
So, now we're moving on to Kevin Owens versus, Cesaro and,
Rusev.
And John Cena was doing the announcing with Michael Cole, JBL, and...
A big mark for Alexander Rusev. I've probably not mentioned that before, because, quite frankly, WWE has been ridiculous in the way they've pushed him, and he's kind of cooled off now, but... I absolutely love watching Rusev work in the ring. He comes up with new stuff all the time. I mean, he's not a routine guy, is the term, where he just goes out and does the same things over and over again. Rusev is always adding new moves to his arsenal. I love that. I love the fact that Rusev sells on offense. And you've heard me talk about this before. It doesn't happen enough in wrestling anymore. And remember... Rusev, he had his feud with Jack Swagger, which is where he won the U.S. title the first time. And they had some really good matches last summer. People laugh at Jack Swagger. Jack Swagger, when he's in the ring with the right person, can put on an outstanding show. Rusev and Jack Swagger was a very good feud. They had one match in particular, though, and I can't remember which pay-per-view it was at, but... And I already liked Rusev before this, but Jack Swagger had him in the ankle lock for a rather extraordinary amount of time. And, you know, he's selling the ankle lock really well. And he gets away, though, and then he, being Rusev, gets the upper hand. And as he's getting the upper hand, he's trying to put the accolade, or... the Steiner recliner, whatever you want to call it, on Jack Swagger. And you've seen this move, and you know, you're kneeling over, you're basically in a sitting position on top of the guy's back, only all of your own weight is resting on your feet. And the thing is, he's trying to put the accolade on, and he can't do it. Because he's selling so well that his ankle hurts so bad he can't handle the weight on it.
Mm.
And I thought, this is freaking blowing my mind. Mm. This guy is brilliant. Nobody does that anymore. The last guy I really saw sell that well on offense was Kurt Angle. You know, so I am a big, big fan of Rusev. So having him back in the ring... was nice to see. If you're not a fan of Rusev, they kept him in the ring a little bit longer than you would have liked to have seen Monday night. I mean, I actually timed it watching, going back through the show a second time tonight. Rusev was in the ring for almost 43 minutes Monday night.
Did you see that when Rusev tried to suplex Cesaro to the outside and Cesaro hit the bad part of the ring.
Yep, you thought Cesaro was hurt.
I thought, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta. This is off topic. Just really quick. It's not really off topic, but Seth Rollins. Did you see where Seth Rollins messed up his lines at the first?
Yes, and I thought it was great that the crowd got on
that
for
was,
it too.
That was hilarious.
Some people think that crowds are harsh when they do that. Okay, Seth Rollins is the guy that's supposed to be running with the ball. And he's done a good job.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we said before. But, man, when you're paying $40 to be in a seat to watch him and he screws up on his lines, yeah, I get on him. Absolutely.
He was even, like, doing it like Stewie's a blah, 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 uh-huh. like that. I was thinking, you're a heel, dude.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were the Miz out here.
Actually.
Anyway, I'm just playing.
The Miz is better than that on the mic. But anyway.
Let's see. Who would he be? Anyway. Back to Cesaro and Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns. Cesaro, Kevin Owens, and Rusev.
And what we didn't mention is that all three, the way this match took place to begin with, was all three of these guys answered the John Cena open challenge for the United States title.
And that's why I do not think Kevin Owens is going to win this title. Almost. Here's why. Cesaro's upset with him. And Rusev's upset with him. They're going to cost him his chance at the title.
I don't agree.
You don't think so?
I don't agree. I think Cesaro and Rusev, I think it'll happen on SmackDown. You'll hear about Cesaro and Rusev being put in a one-on-one match against each other at Battleground. And
if they do it that way,
I could actually see that being interrupted by Dolph Ziggler.
Well, you know how, Rusev looked like he was going to lose this match with John Cena in, like, 1 minute. And then he actually got the accolade on, and you thought, well, maybe he's going to win this. And then Kevin Owens interrupts it like he interrupts Cesaro. I just feel like maybe they're going to be like, well, we need to give him some payback.
They could go that way. But, man.
I mean, I want Owens to win this title.
Owens is white hot. But I see no reason to have him not go over Sunday.
Do you not worry about their interference?
To me, that would be really terrible booking. Not that WWE is immune to that. Far from it. But, again, Kevin Owens is white hot. Kevin Owens is the best they've got right now. Better than Brock Lesnar, I'll say it.
I want him to go over.
I know you do.
But
to
I
not
worry about
have
that.
Him win Sunday, from a booking perspective, from a money perspective, makes no sense.
You know what would make people angry? And it would make me angry.
Cena beats him clean.
No.
That would make people vomit.
Kevin Owens powerbomb Cena, you know, pop-up powerbomb, does it again or whatever. You know he's got Cena beat. Goes for the pin, out comes Rusev, hits Owens, disqualification. Now, would that not make you mad?
I don't do that, please. Please.
That's just something you're going to have to watch out for. I would almost think that something's going to happen there, but I don't want it to.
I really hope that... Yeah, I can see what you're saying, where it could happen.
Because in both situations, Rusev and Cesaro had Cena theoretically beat.
Yes.
So could not Owens almost have him beat? You know he's finished, and then one of them causes the disqualification.
I want to say that they're just setting us up for that so they can surprise us and not do it.
I mean, then again, they could run out and Owens beats them both up and then, you know, he's able to put his pop-up powerbomb on Cena and wins. It's very possible.
Yeah, but then you've kind of, because you've got Cesaro and Rusev coming out in the middle of a match.
Oh, dude, I just thought of something. I don't know, this is crazy.
And you,
but, okay. Let's just say you went with a disqualification, which is awful, right?
Awful.
Setting up SummerSlam for a four-way. You think they could do that? Owen, Rusev, Cesaro,
I think you could set up the SummerSlam four-way anyway without doing any of this.
You could. But people are wanting to see Owens win this title. How do you get people to come over to SummerSlam? Even though people are probably going to watch SummerSlam anyway.
Well, think of it this way, though. If you have Kevin Owens win Sunday, and you have SummerSlam, and then you've got Cesaro that was screwed over by Kevin Owens when he's almost won the U.S. title. Rusev, who's screwed over by Kevin Owens when he's almost won the title. And John Cena, who just wants a rematch for his U.S. title. And you have all three of them going over, or going against Kevin Owens in the four-way at SummerSlam. To me, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean they'll do it that way. But, man.
I'm just putting it out there.
No, it could happen the way you're saying.
It's not, I wonder how we're going to get to, you know, the rumored Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose. Because they're all three in separate worlds right now.
What? Where's Dean Ambrose? Is Dean Ambrose even on the card Sunday? I don't think he is.
I really don't know. He
wasn't on the show Monday. And, I mean, maybe since Seth and Kane have had their falling out anymore, I don't know. Maybe Dean stole his trip to Hawaii.
That was ridiculous. And Kane is back from Hawaii. But did you see all those terribly Photoshop pictures? Terribly Photoshop pictures.
Yes, like, terribly Photoshop.
I tell you, though, I mean, what kid do they think sitting at home believing that? Kane is surfing on the water with a straw hat on. I do not. Okay, anyway. See, they're, it's kind of some of the stuff WWE does. When I watch the Monday Night Wars thing on WWE Network,
WCW, what they did back then toward the end.
You know how WWE was stuck in their 80s mindset?
They're back to it now.
And WCW was doing the New World Order, the more contemporary stuff.
Yes.
It feels like they're insulting the crowd a lot. And it doesn't matter because we're always going to come back and watch. We don't have a WCW.
Hey. But boy, did they give us a gift Monday night. For all of us that have been faithful, we've stuck with WWE through the good times, through the bad, and then through the absolutely awful, which would be 2009 when we had, well, quite frankly, 2009 championship matches between John Cena and Randy Orton.
Oh, my goodness.
But for all of us that stuck with WWE through that, we got a gift Monday night. The main event match. Not the contract signing, but the match, the last match of the night. The main event. The match that's supposed to hype you for what comes next. Which would be Battleground in this case. The match that you've been waiting for all night. And we got Neville against Stardust? Really, guys?
They even had a comic book intro show.
What was that about? What happened?
I don't know.
I mean, did Vince just wake up Monday morning and go, let's spin a wheel with everybody's name on it, and the two names that come up, you'll be in the last match of the night. What?
Raw had its good points, though.
Oh, it did.
Yeah. So let's. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's probably the same person that booked Beast in the East.
The same person that booked not too long ago in that very same match.
Oh, that was John Laurinaitis, wasn't it?
That very same match slot, Dolph Ziggler against Adam Rose.
Now, Beast and the East had good matches, though.
Yeah.
It was booked weird.
Oh, it was booked very weird. Did John Laurinaitis book that?
Thought that's what you said.
Hmm.
I don't know.
It felt like John Laurinaitis booked it.
You guys, remember, send in some questions. This would be your time when you would give us some questions we could answer. So remember to send those in. I'll talk more about that when the podcast ends. But hey, you left us with a cliffhanger last podcast. Those people have been waiting this entire time to hear it, so let us have it. What does Why does have Kevin Owens about shaking hands? Okay. What's that about?
Our loyal listeners, because I know there are some people that wrestle regularly. Maybe not many, but we're growing here.
Not many, but there is some.
You know that I think very highly of Mr. Kevin Owens. Brandon thinks very highly of Mr. Kevin Owens. But there is one thing I have noticed about Kevin Owens that you could say is a little off for me, even as a heel. Kevin Owens just hates to shake hands. It's true. You know, he shook John Cena's hand at the end of their most recent match, which was at... What was that at? What show was that?
Most recent match?
Yes.
Oh, the last pay-per-view?
Yeah.
I can't think what that pay-per-view is called.
There have been so many pay-per-views.
Oh, that wasn't Money in the Bank, was it? No. Yeah. No, it was after Money in the Bank.
Was that Extreme Rules? Was that before? Know. There have been so many pay-per-views lately because they're saturating the market. I can't remember the name of the show, honestly, but it was the last pay-per-view. He shook John Cena's hand, and then he beat him up, which is the way a heel's supposed to do it. You know, and I understood that was cool, that was good. Then he came out on Raw and launched into this rather strange 8-minute promo about how insulting it was to have him shake John Cena's hand. You know, you did your thing. What's the deal with shaking hands? And then he loses the NXT Championship at Beast in the East to Finn Balor, which, you know, we kind of thought was coming, right? Because we figured Kevin Owens was being moved up to the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to drop the NXT title. And what better person to do it to drop it to than Finn Balor, really? But then he refuses to shake Finn Balor's hand, and he could have beat him up there. So we've established maybe that Kevin Owens is a germaphobe? That he really hates shaking other people's hands? I mean, like you said, I understood the thing with Cena and everything. What I didn't understand was Monday night going on and on and on about it afterwards. And then just flat refusing to shake Finn Balor's hand. And I don't know. It's odd. And
was he like that before?
No.
Ring of Honor?
No. So that's what makes me wonder if WWE's going somewhere with that. You know, because I've watched Kevin Owens for years. I've watched Kevin Owens when he went by his real name. And
Kevin Steen.
Kevin Steen. Mr. Wrestling Kevin Steen. But
yeah, he's getting a figure. Like a Ring of Honor.
Oh, okay.
Through Figures Toy Company. Kevin okay. Steen.
Okay. Yeah. I thought you were talking about the increasingly round shape he's getting.
Oh, no, wrestling figure. He's also getting one through Mattel later, but...
I mean, and that's not to insult Kevin. I'm a big man myself. You know, and I can appreciate the fact that for a bigger man, boy, can Kevin move in the ring. You know, so it doesn't hamper him in any way. But when you mentioned he was getting a figure, that was my first thought. Are we doing the Battleground special that we had talked about? Besides this, as a separate podcast, are we doing that?
I don't think tonight would be good for it.
Okay.
But I do want to
introduce a new Superstar Spotlight, if you could do one.
Oh, a Superstar Spotlight.
So, Charles, I would like to ask you to do a new segment that we're going to introduce for the show.
Okay.
Superstar Spotlight. Tell me about, and I'll do it next week, so you do this one. Tell me a superstar that you want to focus on and talk a little bit about. A little short, because we're running short on time a little bit.
I want to talk about three superstars in one.
Okay. Are you talking about Mankind?
I'm absolutely not talking about Mankind. Okay. Although that would be fun sometime if we wanted to do a retro focus show. I'm not talking about three people separately. I'm talking about the New Day.
Oh.
Yes. And the New Day are very near and dear to me because they are real heels. Because real heels cheat. And real heels run away. Much like Seth Rollins is a real heel.
Mm-hmm.
But the New Day is just, they're so good at it. I mean, and I hope what I see Sunday is Big E and Kofi Kingston and Xavier getting their titles back from the mistake that is the Primetime Players. Because I love everything about the New Day, and they remind me of quite possibly my favorite heel gimmick of all time, which is heel Kurt Angle. I mean, I was so overjoyed when I saw their celebration back about a month and a half ago with the milk. It brought so much nostalgia to me. And they're right when they say it. Just as much as the crowd is right to boo them, because that's what they want. New Day rocks. New Day does not suck. New Day rocks.
That's your Superstar Spotlight?
The New Day.
I do want to add one more little thing that I want to talk about each week.
Okay.
Spot of the night for Raw. I want to talk about spot of the night. We may change it to spot of the week, something like that. But what I want to say, something really memorable from Raw was the NXT Divas putting the submission
move. Yes, that would have to be the spot of the week.
So that's my spot of the week. Even though the week isn't over yet, I don't think they're going to top that, really.
No.
So, Charles, it looks like we're running out of time for this podcast for July the 15th. And, guys, if you want to send us questions to answer wrestling-related, remember, email me at Brandon@BrandonTopsHere.com or contact me on Twitter at BrandonTopsHere. Just drop the O in Brandon or go to BrandonTopsHere.com/contact. Fill out the form. It'll send me an email. Next podcast, we'll answer it. We will answer it. No one has sent us anything yet. Hopefully, you will in the future because we will answer
your questions. Don't make me send fake questions. That's just pathetic.
And this is something we're going to do each week. Superstar Spotlight, Spot of the Week, and we want to answer questions. We want to have a little segment for answering questions, but if you don't send us any questions, we can't have that segment. But we're going to introduce stuff in the future to keep you coming back, keep you waiting for more. Charles, what about next podcast? What kind of cliffhanger do you got to leave us with?
My cliffhanger for next podcast is Dolph Ziggler. Is this the end of his run in WWE?
Thank you very much for that, Charles. I'm Brandon, and this is
Charles.
And we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to BrandonTopsHere.com podcast. Remember, if you have any wrestling questions to give us, email me at Brandon@BrandonTopsHere.com or go to BrandonTopsHere.com/contact.